When we begin our session this morning, I acknowledge the fact that this is Justice Sweeney's last day in the courtroom. He will be here working until midnight, December 31st. His family has caught up with us, and I'd like to introduce them. They were not here earlier, and so I'd like to introduce them. They take up two rows here, which is a wonderful sight. I'd like to introduce them. They are his wife, of course, Lee, and why don't you, Lee, please stand. Susan and Tim Ryan. Susan is a daughter. And Connor is 14, Jake is 12, Zach is 10, and Ian is 7. And we didn't hear any noise back in our roving rooms. So that's a good sign, boys. Thank you. And Skip, who is an attorney in Cleveland. And then John and Robin. John is son with Robin, his wife. Welcome. This is a special occasion, and we're going to miss your most valued member of your family. He's been a valued member of this court. The next case on our calendar is 04-242 and 407, Patsy Allen versus Laura McBride. Mr. Bonham.
Good morning. I'm Bill Bonham. I represent the appellants in this case. We're confronted today with the sole question of whether or not the General Assembly intended the saving statute of Ohio Revised Code Section 2305-19 to apply in a will contest case. Until the Franklin County Court of Appeals ruled in this case, one probate court and three appellate court cases held that 2305-19 did not apply.
Well, counsel, what does the statute say? Could you read it to us?
I don't have it with me, Your Honor.
Okay.
The Ashtabula County Probate Court first addressed this issue in the 1966 case of Alakiotis versus
Lansing. Well, let me tell you the reason I ask. I don't see any exception for will contest. The statute is a general statute. And it doesn't say anything about accepting out will contest.
I agree, Your Honor. It does not have that exception itself. However, I think based on the overall intent of the legislature, for reasons that I'll get into here shortly, it's my opinion that the 2305-19 does not apply in the will contest case.
Counsel, opposing side has maintained that the probating of the estate could go forward, that the creditors could be paid, that all the matters could be taken care of with the exception of the final descendants under the will. Can you address whether you believe that to be the fact or not, or whether there is a different procedural posture in your opinion?
Under will contest, I believe that the estate has a right to go on and go ahead and pay the creditors and so forth and so on. We're basically just arguing over where the final distribution goes during the pendency of a will contest case.
So it would not, in fact, prejudice the rest of the processing of the estate?
No, ma'am. It would not prejudice the processing, the payment of the creditors and that sort of thing. The issue was first addressed in the 1966 probate court case of Alakiotis versus Lancione, which is out of Ashtabula County, found in Ohio Miscellaneous 12, Ohio Miscellaneous 257. The court held in that case that the savings clause of 2305-19 does not apply to a cause of action created by statute which is unknown in common law and which contains its own statute of limitations. It's followed in 1984 by the case of Barnes versus Anderson.
So we include or exclude by having you go back and examine what was known and unknown at common law when the statute was enacted?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the difference comes down to
That's going to be a daunting task when we have to review the entire revised code with that kind of a standard.
Yes, Your Honor. Alakiotis case was followed by Barnes versus Anderson, an 11th District Court of Appeals case that flatly held that 2305-19 was not available with regard to a will contest case, followed again in the 11th District by the Peltz versus Peltz, cited in my brief. And the Peltz Court specifically reasoned that the intent of the General Assembly was that the specific time limit of 210776, which is the will contest statute of limitations clause, took precedence over the general one-year limit of 230519. In the year 2000, Alakiotis, Barnes, and Peltz were followed in the case of Cross versus Connolly, again cited in my brief. The case in Cross, the court observed that the General Assembly had had over 30 years since the holding in Alakiotis to change 230519 to apply to will contest case if it so desired, but had not. The court in Cross continued to say that the legislative intent favors a speedy of administration of estates, which, Justice Stratton, you corrected me that the would allow for creditors and so forth to be paid in the meantime. But 2305 should not apply and would simply lead to unnecessary delays in the administration. The court added that refiling saving statute is the very thing that the will contest statute of limitations in 210776 was designed to prevent. Plaintiff and the 10th District Appellate Court of Appeals have argued that they are following a new trend in the law. They were relying on the Supreme Court cases of Reese versus University Hospital, which was decided in 1983, Lewis versus Connor, decided in 1985, and Osborne versus AK Steel, Armco Steel, decided in 2002. Reese held that 230519 applied in cases in the Court of Claims. Lewis held that 230519 applied to age discrimination cases, and Osborne held that it applied to workers' compensation cases. I would note here that the Belts, the Carn, Barnes, Peltz, and Connolly courts, which held the 230519 does not apply in a will contest case, all had the opportunity to first consider and follow the analysis contained in the holdings of Reese and Lewis. They still decided that 230519 doesn't apply in a will contest case. The court in Reese, Lewis, and Osborne, which are the cases the plaintiff relies on, plaintiff appellee, consistently applied the principle that the causes of action created by the respective statutes were remedial in nature. That has to do with the age discrimination, workers' comp, and court of claims, remedial in nature and not right-creating statutes. And we have to contrast this to the holdings in different Ohio Supreme Court cases. For close to a century, the Ohio Supreme Court has consistently held that will contest statutes create a purely statutory right. These are substantive rights rather than remedial. Remember that Reese, Lewis, and Osborne consistently applied the principle that causes of actions created by respective statutes were remedial in nature and not right-creating statutes. Ohio Supreme Court cases such as McVeigh versus Fetterman held that no right exists to maintain an action in a will contest except as it is specifically provided by statute, and the right thus conferred is subject to the conditions and limitations imposed. The right granted and the condition imposed go together. One cannot be enjoyed without the restrictions and limitations of the other. So later in the opinion, it continues, the right of a party to invoke such jurisdiction is a purely statutory creation. McVeigh was followed by a number of cases, Gavier versus Gluth, Andes versus Ship. The Ohio Supreme Court has actually construed 2305 several times. And La Barbera versus Batch, the court wrote that although it's been said many times that the saving statute, 230519 revised code, is a remedial statute and to be liberally construed, the court is reluctant to infer that this principle is of more importance than the policies mentioned without completely clear evidence of legislative intent. Legislative intent is generally determined through the rules of statutory construction and the history of legislative action. In construing the statute, the Ohio Supreme Court rulings have repeatedly stated that when interpreting legislative intent, a specific statute takes precedence over a general one. State versus Volpe, Cincinnati versus Thomas Soft Ice Cream, State versus Frost, among others. Clearly, 230519 is general in nature and 210776 is specific. 210776 being the statute of limitations for will contests. The statute of 210776 should apply solely in a will contest case. Further, I cite you to the court.
Counsel, I have a hard time understanding how is that statute of limitations different than any other specific statute of limitations?
It's it specifically applies to will contest as opposed to the 230519, which is a general statute.
Yeah, but we have all kinds of statutes of limitations that in the code, scattered throughout the code, that specifically apply to the particular kinds of actions that are contemplated in that section of the code.
Your Honor, my argument is that 2107-76, which is a specific statute with regard to the will contest, if you look at the general legislative history of that statute over the past century, it's been shortened generally from 2 years to 1 year to 6 months to 4 months to 3 months as recently as October of 2001.
Counsel, all statute of limitations are there for the purpose to expedite the legal process. To single out a will contest as opposed to a contract, for example, which has a substantially longer period of time, could you justify that?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that there's a legislative preference that favors the speedy administration of estates.
So you have that with your initial filing of the three-month period for a will contest. How does the savings clause being inapplicable to this statute of limitations as opposed to a two-year statute or whatever, how does that produce an inequity or some sort of negation of the legislative intent here?
I think that the legislative intent is clear with the way that 2107-76 has been applied over time, consistently shortening the period.
That's for the initial foray into the courtroom, into the legal system. Justify to me why the savings statute will not apply to a will contest as opposed to a malpractice, as opposed to a personal injury, an auto. Tell me why not.
Your Honor, all I can do is rely on the court cases to date from the different appellate districts and so forth before we got to the 10th District Court of Appeals that favor the speedy administration of estates and that the saving statute would simply add unnecessary delay.
How much delay are we talking here?
Well, potentially years.
But the saving statute is very specific in the refiling requirements, correct?
Yes. But you have the time between the time you have the trial court can run its courts as it did in this situation where we got through all the discovery and all the pre-trials and all that sort of thing before the case was finally dismissed. A year had elapsed at that point. Then the person has another year, once they voluntarily dismiss the case, to refile the action, which would start the process over again. So that's the reason that I answer that this would take years, an additional time. Supreme Court in Sable versus Peacock said that it's a recognized rule that a statute in derogation of common law or which gives a right unknown to the common law must be applied strictly in accord with all its essential terms. The plaintiff appellee in this case seeks a derogation of 2107-76 through the application of 2305-19. The court must strictly construe that such a derogation is in strict accord with the essential terms of 2107-76. Again, with such a short time to file, it's evident that the Ohio General Assembly has recognized that it's an important public policy concern to expeditiously resolve the issues surrounding the administration of the estates. The Cross case mentioned that the General Assembly has had ample opportunity to amend revised Code 2305-19 or 2107-76 if that body intended for the saving statute to apply in a will contest case. Given the General Assembly has not chosen to overturn Alakiotis, we see no reason to depart from such a long-standing rule. Again, it's my opinion that the General Assembly's intent in this case is irrefutable. So at this time, I'd like to reserve what time I have left.
Thank you, Mr. Bonham.
Thank you.
Mr. DeAurora.
Counsel, I'd like to start you out with a practical question. All these other cases that both sides have referred to are complete actions in themselves, and when they are dismissed, nothing happens anywhere else until they're refiled. Here you have an administration of a state that is ongoing, that surrounds this. If you dismiss and don't refile for a year, does the probate court have the ability to finish up the case, close it, and distribute everything according to the current will?
I don't think it does, Your Honor.
Why? You don't have a case pending.
Well, excuse me. I take that back. If the case were not pending, if the case is dismissed, I think you're correct.
Okay. So let's say if we rule in your favor, you take the risk, you wait a year. Meanwhile, the probate court closes the estate and distributes. What happens then to that estate when you refile after it has been completely closed?
You know, I hate to say this. I'm not prepared to answer that question. I didn't think of it in my brief. That may be something for a supplemental response. But my sense is, right off the top of my head, that would be the risk that the plaintiff takes.
That you would be foreclosed?
I don't know for certain, Your Honor.
Because it seems to me that inherent within this, different from every other case we consider, is the fact that you have another action that wraps around the will contest. And I'm struggling with the issue of how do you complete an estate, distribute everything, and we either have to say you're foreclosed or you go back, reopen it, and those people have to give all the money back.
Well, that's a great question. I would make the analogy to what happens in any other case. If I file a breach of contract action, I dismiss, I sit on my rights. Things can happen in the intervening period of time. I would think that that's my risk as the plaintiff's attorney and as the plaintiff, and it would be no different than what you were suggesting here in the probate action.
Would it be appropriate for us to say that if you don't file before the estate's closed, you're out of luck?
You're asking me to ponder a question I have not considered, but that would be my conjecture at this point. I want to begin by addressing some preliminary matters. I want to review some basic concepts, and so I'm going to ask the court to indulge me in reviewing these matters because they are foundational to my argument. Let's begin with the idea of a statute of limitations. Simply put, the statute determines the amount of time a plaintiff has to bring an action. Now let's look at what a saving statute, 2305-19, does. It has a narrow application. It allows a plaintiff to refile a case, but only when certain conditions are met. The case had to be timely filed in the first place. It has to be dismissed other than on the merits. And it has to be dismissed after the statute of limitations expired. If those conditions don't occur, the statute of limitations is never applicable.
Now, the new amendment has changed that.
That's correct, Your Honor. But that's not the law right now.
Okay.
That will happen. Thank you. One thing the saving statute does not do is toll or lengthen the statute of limitations. If you don't file timely, you forget about the saving statute. Now, the second introductory point is let's talk about when the saving statute comes into play. It comes into play when a plaintiff has an obstacle that precludes him from trying his case. Witness problems, discovery problems, trial conflicts, you name it. A plaintiff can dismiss and refile and take advantage of the saving statute so long as he timely filed, so long as he dismissed after the statute of limitations expired. The third preliminary matter, let's look at what a will contest action looks like. It looks like any other piece of civil litigation. This case in Franklin County was put on a one-year trial track, just like any other civil litigation. There was a jury demand. There were discovery requests. There were motions to compel. There were motions for protective orders. It looks like any other litigation. So the question is,
in this case, with the wraparound piece that's happening, what is the status of the administration of the estate in this case right now?
I think it's put on hold because of this appeal right now. But then that's the same as any other case.
Have the creditors been paid and all of that?
No, there's been no distribution because my client alleges that she is wrongfully denied her share.
Creditors don't factor in distribution? Have the creditors and those parties been paid?
I can't address that, Your Honor. My contention is if a will contest action looks like any other piece of litigation, then why shouldn't a will contest litigant be afforded the same rights as any other civil litigant? Now to the thrust of my argument. We have two groups of statutes. Let's pretend in one hand I'm holding three. The workers' comp claim reviewed by this court in Lewis, civil rights claims reviewed by this court in Osborne, claims against the state reviewed by this court in Reese. We'll pretend in my left hand we're holding the will contest action that we're all talking about. These two groups of statutes have much in common. None has a basis in common law. All are creatures of statute, and the limitations period for each is contained within the statute that gives rise to the claim. So there, they are all similar. But then there's a significant distinction. The Supreme Court has reviewed the three statutes that I've spoken of, workers' comp statutes, civil rights, claims against the state. And this court has said, in all of those statutes, this saving statute can be applied. Now we look at the will contest action. What happens there? We have two appellate courts, the 4th and the 11th districts, I believe, and they have said that the saving statute does not apply to a will contest action. Their authority? A 1966 probate case. There's no justification for this distinction. If you look at the saving statute, it has no exceptions for will contest actions. If you look at the will contest statute, it says nothing that precludes the application of the saving statute. And very significantly, this court in Lewis looked at a workers' comp claim. A two-month statute of limitations. You have to file before the trial court within 2 months of an unfavorable industrial commission claim. So why can we not apply the saving statute to a will contest action, which is 3 months? My opponent likes to argue this notion of right versus remedy. He says, well, saving statutes apply only to remedial statutes. The will contest conveys a right, not a remedy, and therefore the saving statute does not apply. Three significant problems with his position. First, what this court said in Lewis. This court said we need to end, as the court stated, the right versus remedy dichotomy. And I think the court did that for good reason. The right versus remedy dichotomy, it's confusing. It's difficult to understand. Second, there's no authority for the proposition that a will contest action conveys a right as opposed to a remedy. There are many cases cited by my opponent stating the obvious, that it is a creature of statute, but there is no authority that the will contest conveys a right versus a remedy. Most significantly, if we look at cases cited by my opponent, we find that this court has referred to will contest actions either implicitly or explicitly as remedial statutes. Chilcote versus Hoffman in 1917, Morton versus Fast in 1953. He says we need to strictly construe the saving statute. Four problems with that argument. The most obvious, what authority for that proposition? The saving statute has no exclusions. Second of all, he says the second problem is that the saving statute does nothing to diminish the statute of limitations for a will contest action. Remember, the saving statute applies only if you timely file and if the case is dismissed other than on the merits. The third problem is this court has applied the saving statute to a workers' comp claim, which is even shorter, a two-month period. I think my opponent confuses the concept behind a statute of limitations. The three-month statute of limitation means only that the legislature wants will contest actions to be commenced promptly. That's all it means. My opponent seems to argue that the three-month statute of limitations means that a probate case must be concluded quickly. My response says who? What authority is there? Within a probate case, there can be various adversarial proceedings. There can be appeals. And as I've already explained, a will contest action looks just like any other litigation. He refers also to a U.S. Supreme Court case, Burnett, where the saving statute was not applied to a Federal Employment Labor Act case. Yes, that's true. It wasn't applied, but only in order to preserve uniformity in the statute of limitations among the states. Let's think about where we are. Let's think about what we know. Let's think about what's before us. Will contest actions have to be treated the same as those claims already addressed by the court? Workers' comp, civil rights, claims against the state. This court has already said the right versus remedy distinction is not to be followed any longer. It's confusing. But even if you do want to follow that, this court has also referred to will contest actions as remedial. So by my opponent's own argument, this court would have to apply the saving statute. We know that the saving statute does nothing inconsistent with what the legislature has mandated. The legislature has mandated you will file a will contest action within 3 months. If you don't file that within 3 months, you have no hope of using the saving statute. The final thing to consider is the basic judicial concept of fairness. A will contest action looks like any other civil litigation. There is no reason in terms of fairness not to afford the rights of the saving statute to a civil litigant. And so for all these reasons, I ask this court to affirm the holding of the Court of Appeals of Franklin County. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dierauer. Mr. Bonham, you saved 2.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. My opponents talked briefly about fairness, and the primary reason for having a statute of limitations contained in the will contest statutes are for the speediest administration of estates. This is a case in particular, when he's talking about fairness, this is a case in particular where the saving statute just simply shouldn't apply. We got into this position simply because the case laid for a long time before anything was prosecuted on the case. Once we finally came up to our deadlines and so forth, Mr. Dierauer was past his deadlines on different things. He had no other choice but to dismiss in the hopes of refiling. So if you're going to talk about fairness, that's surely an issue. Again, I would like to emphasize from my standpoint that the Ohio
Counsel, the timeline in this case, according to my reading, is mere months. We're not talking about years.
That's
here.
Right, Your Honor.
We're talking about maybe even a week or two after the cutoff, the discovery cutoff, and the request then for the deposition, I think, of Mr. Little, I'm not sure how you say that. We're only talking about days along this track. We're not talking about years being passed by and people not vigorously or timely being involved in this case. From the time it was filed in August until the dismissal the next spring, we're only talking about months here.
The yardstick in this case is the calendar set out by the Franklin County Probate Court. The case, I believe, I'm going by memory, was filed in March of 2002. I was actually hired to defend the case in about November of 2002, and I immediately contacted Mr. Dierauer and sought to depose his plaintiffs. nothing had been done pretty much outside of a request for medical records in that period between the filing and the time that I came into the case. And the discovery cutoff was the first part of December, if I'm remembering correctly. So absolutely nothing was done. Back was against the wall. That's how we ended up in this position.
Thank you, Mr. Bonham. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.